there are people that they can reach out to. And that's one of the major efforts that we are trying to, is to let people know that they're not alone. And it's important for those that are at risk to contact the national hotline, which is a 1-800-273-TALK. And if they're a veteran and they press 1, they'll get another veteran. So we want them to know that where there's help, there's hope.
Laura, are most suicides the result of clinical depression, or do people just make this decision, something bad happens, they're served with divorce papers, they lose a job, something very traumatic in their lives? Or has this been building, has this been part of an ongoing clinical problem?
We know that suicide is very complex. So 90% of people who die by suicide have a diagnosable and treatable mental illness at the time of their death, though the majority have either gone undiagnosed or untreated correctly. We also know that there really is no one cause for suicide. It is complex. There may be many reasons that have building up over time that have affected a person. And if they don't have the support or the help or have sought help for their mental illness, it could result in suicide.
Mary Jo, what do you say to a person who lost a friend or a relative to suicide? For instance, if someone dies in a violent death, we help this person, we offer our sympathy. Someone dies of cancer or an illness or in an accident, it's tough, but we managed to do it. But suicide is something we still just don't want to talk about.
Well, I feel that it's very important that you connect someone who is a survivor to the support groups that are available to them. And our spouses group, Congressional Spouses Group, partners with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And if someone goes on their website, they will see the various programs that are going on, and they can be a part of connecting to others that have been through something very similar to themselves. And I think just being an ear for someone is very, very important. Again, it can be extremely isolating for a family member when they or a friend who've lost somebody. So connecting to another person is crucial, and the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention is definitely a resource that one could reach out to. There are quite a few support groups throughout the Hudson Valley region.
And Laura, I know there's not a typical suicide victim, but does it happen more often in a certain age group to a certain type of person, or can it happen at virtually any age to just about anyone?
Really, anybody can be affected by suicide. There is no, while we know that some people are at higher risk, it really affects everybody across the spectrum, young and old, rich or poor, it doesn't matter. We do know that middle-aged men, age 45 to 54, is the highest rate of suicide right now. Elderly is the second highest rate. But also with that, we know that suicide is the third leading cause of death among our youth, age 15 to 24. So while the rate isn't the highest, it is placed in a high category among that age group.
Mary Jo, you're married to Congressman Chris Gibson, and you're involved in the U.S. Congressional Spouses Group on Suicide Prevention and Education. What's that all about? What's that organization do?
Well, it is spouses from the House and from the Senate, both Democrat and Republicans, that partner with AFSP. And we have symposiums in Washington, D.C. to discuss this issue. And then people return to their communities and try to raise awareness to this issue, whether it's be as thank you very much for having us here today in WAMC, Brian, because this allows us to put a voice to this issue through op-ed pieces, through PSAs, through different ways of networking in the community. We try to discuss this topic and encourage people to reach out.
Laura, to prevent suicide, what are some of the warning signals, some of the symptoms, some of the signs that someone may actually be contemplating that or may be near suicide?
Sure. So isolating themselves, withdrawing from friends and family, no longer doing things that they enjoyed doing. Maybe if it's a youth, skipping school or grades dropping. If it's an adult, not showing up for work. What we really want to look for is significant changes in behavior. So many times when we think of a change in behavior, we often think of something negative. But a positive change in behavior can also be an indicator that something is going on if it's significant enough. So for example, take a student in a classroom, maybe always sat in the back of the class, never really participated, didn't care what he looked like. The school had been working with them, and suddenly he moved to the front of the classroom, participated a little bit more, and looked a little bit better. And then the student took his life. And what the student was thinking is that he didn't want to be remembered for the kid sitting in the back of the classroom. So he changed his behavior as his suicidal thoughts began to grow.
Mary Jo, you briefly touched on veterans, military veterans. I know your husband's a veteran and you work with the congressional group you mentioned. What about that situation, the veterans and coming home from war and the challenges they face?
Okay. Well, I can... I'll mention right now the as what I'm aware of related to the Army. There has been a great effort. It's an Army Ready Resilient campaign that has been going on for a while and carried on right now by the Vice Chief, General Allen, and that is to help develop resiliency within the units, understanding that there are issues and that we need to address them. Even in basic training, they're having peer-to-peer identification of concern and then be able to resource someone and for the families as well, so that there's a greater focus on just the a comprehensive care of the family. And I also want to mention in the congressional component, in February of this year, a law had been signed by the president and was passed by the House and the Senate. And Chris was really involved in that. He was one of the co-sponsors. And it was called the Clay Hunt Save Act. And it's for veterans. It helps to audit the treatment and the effectiveness of programs for veterans. It also helps to share best practices and also fund and educate those who wish to be in this field. So we have to continue to work in that effort. And that was very good to see that progress being made. But we always need to be doing more.
Suicide Prevention Week will be the 7th through the 11th of September. The 10th of September is World Prevention Day. Laura, tell us a little bit more about Walk Out of the Darkness that will be happening this autumn.
Sure. So the Out of the Darkness Walks is our fundraising and awareness events for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And they really are exactly what the title says. So we want to bring suicide into the light and out of the darkness. And we want to let people know a couple of things. First, they are not alone. And so oftentimes, Mary Jo had talked about that isolation that people feel. And when they show up to a walk and they see 300, 500, 1,000 other people who have literally walked in their shoes, suddenly they're not feeling so alone. They are also fundraising events. They provide much needed funds that that go towards research and also local suicide prevention, education, and support programs.
Is there a website, a national, state, local website that you'd like to give us, Laura?
Yes. If you go to outofthedarkness.org, you can find a list of all the sites that are having walks in your area.